CR TV's afternoon edition with me, Drusilla Mokoso Jockey. In our top stories, Cameroon is multiplying efforts to guarantee peace and social cohesion in the wake of its sociopolitical and economic challenges. The National Commission on the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism has pooled experts to identify triggers to inter-community conflicts and strategize on ways of building back trust and fostering peaceful coexistence. The arrest of separatist terrorist ringleader Lucas Ayabacho has been saluted by Cameroonian-born and US-based peace crusader Barrister Emmanuel Shalai, who promises retributive justice for all victims of the ongoing crisis in the northwest and southwest regions. Cameroon now has a complementary blueprint for prison management in the Prison Governance Support Program launched in Yaoundé today. And those were our top stories. But first, the news bulletin.
The bulletin with Winston Lebga. An initiative that entails advocating more decent conditions for prison detainees in Cameroon, as well as ensuring that they are entitled to humane treatment, is underway in Yaoundé. It entails fighting against torture, reducing overcrowding in the country's penitentiary institutions, facilitating access to justice, and guaranteeing the socioeconomic integration of former convicts. These within a project known as Prison Governance Support, PAGOC, that was launched today and involves human rights advocates, civil society organizations, and government institutions, co-founded by the European Union and the Paris Solidarity Bar. The renowned American-based human rights advocate of Cameroonian nationality, Barrister Emmanuel Shalai, reputed for his crusade against separatist terrorism in the northwest and southwest regions of the country, has saluted Norwegian authorities for arresting the ringleader, Lucas Ayabacho, aged 52. Barrister Shalai has declared his determination to pursue his anti-terrorism crusade until the perpetrators get appropriate retributive justice for the crimes they committed. Cameroon is holding a brainstorm that involves coming up with data on the gravity of intertribal conflicts said to be threats to the country's peace and stability. A colloquium on the matter has begun today in Yaoundé under the authority of the National Commission on Bilingualism and Multiculturalism. The Commission's President, Peter Mafani Musonge, who chaired the opening ceremony, called on the participants to work out mechanisms to prevent, manage and solve such conflicts when they arise. The effectiveness of the start of classes for the 2024-2025 school year across Cameroon has come under evaluation today in Yaoundé. Prime Minister Joseph John Goute and members of his cabinet, meeting for the month of September, have been looking at the level of school attendance, the pedagogic activities carried out so far, as well as the situation of the teaching and administrative staff. The general observation made by the ministers in charge of education during the deliberations point to an effective start of the new school year nationwide. This news release from the Minister of Finance regarding the filing of tax returns. The minister informs non-professional taxpayers subject to the annual personal income tax declaration that the deadline for submission has been extended to December the 1st, 2024. He commends the numerous taxpayers who have already voluntarily fulfilled this tax obligation. He emphasizes that non-compliance with this filing obligation will result in the enforcement of penalties as stipulated in the Manual of Tax Procedures. To further assist the concerned taxpayers in meeting their filing requirements, dedicated support teams have been deployed at their various tax offices and within the Directorate General of Taxation, along with an online assistance mechanism, including a toll-free call center, 8200, an electronic assistance platform, help desk, accessible via the homepage of the Directorate General of Taxation's website, a messaging service, 691-881-881, specifically for taxpayers residing abroad. This release concerning the extraordinary elective General Assembly of the National Order of Tax Consultants of Cameroon, which will hold on Thursday, the 24th of October at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Yaoundé Hilton Hotel. The main agenda will be the renewal of the organs of the ONC CFC. As a reminder, in accordance with the order's internal regulations, the General Assembly is made up of all the tax consultants registered on the order's roll. Article 8, paragraph 1, the trainees registered on the order's appendix list are authorized to take part in the work of the assembly. They may take part, but do not have the right to vote. Article 8, paragraph 3. The conditions of participation and eligibility are those contained in the minutes of the meeting of February the 2nd, May the 7th, May 23, and July 23, 2024, held with the Orders Management Board. Voting is by list. Each member may represent two other electors on the basis of a duly established mandate. Candidate files are due at the management committee set up for the occasion no later than midnight of Tuesday, September 24, 2024. The Minister of Communication invites media practitioners wishing to ensure the media coverage of the closing ceremony of the 2024 sports season, coupled with the final of the Cup of Cameroon, to kindly submit the accreditation applications to the Ministry. For national or foreign media practitioners working permanently in Cameroon, an application stamped at the current rate and signed by the publisher, mentioning the full names of the members of the reporting crew, a copy of a valid press card, a receipt of payment of CFA 100,000 francs to be paid at the Ministry of Communications Treasury, that's for foreign media, a photocopy of the passport, still for foreign media, a photocopy of the valid national identity card or residence permit of each member of the reporting crew, a copy of the most recent issue, less than 1 month old, for print media. For foreign media practitioners working temporarily in Cameroon, an accreditation request form stamped at the current rate of CFA 1,500 francs, accompanied by a mission order. Two recent identity photographs stapled to the form. A photocopy of a valid passport. Proof that you are a journalist or any other related professional. Receipt of payment of CFA 100,000 francs to the Ministry of Communications Treasury. A hotel reservation or proof of accommodation provided by the partner in Cameroon. A list of the professional equipment used, specifying its characteristics. Completed applications should be submitted to the Department of Private Media, Development and Advertising of the Ministry of Communication, latest September 26, 2024, at 3:30 p.m. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRT This Afternoon Edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's Afternoon Edition.
Connecting people.
Thank you for being with us. Prime Minister, Head of Government, has exhorted ministers in charge of the education sector in Cameroon to ensure that all directives concerning pedagogy, security and training of learners are effectively implemented in the course of the 2024-2025 school year. Chief Dr. Joseph John Gute made the call today in Yaoundé as he chaired the cabinet meeting for the month of September. Discussions at the session were geared towards the evaluation of the start of the new school year across the national territory. Star Building correspondent Christian Chiatam reports.
How many schools have been running since the new school year started? What pedagogic activities have been carried out going into week three of studies? How present have the students, teaching and administrative staff been? What is the situation of students affected by floods and insecurity? These are some of the questions which the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph John Gute, and members of Cabinet sought to answer. Minister Nalova Liunga said at the secondary level, the start of the school year has been effective with a high turnout of students and teachers.
Our statistics show that it's going to be a very good year. We're hoping that the way things have started, they're going to continue like that.
She used the opportunity to recall that the PTA is meant to help schools which are in need but must not become a means of extortion of parents.
Everybody should know that the PTA fees exist only in so far as the school has needs to fulfill. It's not a fee that the parents have to pay. Because if it is 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000, according to the needs of the school, that is what the parents should pay. They do not have to pay 25,000 as a fee.
In the basic education level, where over 6 million learners were expected at the start of the year, Minister Laurent Serge Etulingua said statistics show a 90% attendance rate for teachers in week 2, with 78% of students present. For the 2024-2025 academic year to kick off on October 7, the Minister of State for Higher Education, Jacques Famendongo, said efforts shall be geared towards consolidating the reform on the professionalization of university studies and the optimal functioning of the three universities created by the President in January 2022. The Minister of Employment and Vocational Training, Issa Chiroma Bakari, noted that the 2024-2025 training cycle will be marked by the opening of new institutions. The Prime Minister Head of Government, Joseph Dangote, at the end, prescribed vigilance and teamwork to ensure that learners in every part of the country study under safe conditions. Christian Cheatam, CRTV, The Star Building.
Meanwhile, the Divisional Delegate of Secondary Education in the Manu says many schools in the Mamfe subdivision are yet to open their doors 3 weeks into the 2024-2025 school year. Ayuk Sera Efindi says the most affected are schools in Eyumojok and Akwaya areas due to the poor enrollment of pupils, students, as well as the absence of teachers. We'll have details with Bridget in Diepa Sambiwan.
Akwaya subdivision, made up of 5 court areas, is affected with the challenge of students' enrollment, teachers' presence, plus other actors. Madam Ayuk Sera Efimbi, Divisional Delegate of MINISEC for Manu.
Akwaya has 14 schools, 4 are functional, and they have a total enrollment of 249 students. For GHS Kajifu, almost all the teachers are there. GHS Akwaya, most of the teachers were redeployed.
Eyumojok subdivision has its own challenges which affect schooling. Madam Ayuk Sera Efimbi attests.
Out of the 21 schools in Eyumojok subdivision, only 3 are functional, hoping that others will open their doors. They have a total number of 632 students as of yesterday. GBHS, the teachers are there. GTC, just a few who are not yet there. Only school that will have problem with teachers is Ekok.
To encourage young people go to school in his area, Honorable Aka Martin, member of the National Assembly, has come up with a scholarship scheme worth 1 million francs CFA. Boya, Bridget, Ndiep, Assam, Mbiwan, CRTV.
And in the Northwest region, classes for the new academic, for the new school year, classes for the new academic year, beg your pardon, in the University of Bamenda are expected to commence on October the 7th, 2024, with several innovations introduced in some of the schools and faculties of the institution. The new programs in both the undergraduate and postgraduate levels are aimed at boosting professional education and preparing learners for the job market. Kenny Sayumbom Abengo looks at some of the programs being introduced in the University of Bamenda this academic year.
The University of Bamenda, also known as the University of the Future, boasts of at least 20,000 students each school year, with an annual intake of over 5,000. With the upcoming academic year previewed to begin on October 7th, the Director of Students' Affairs, Professor Anong Demian Nota, assures the students of proper accommodation, feeding and health care.
At the level of the hostels, the cleaners are all there presently trying to clean the rooms. We are trying to get the pitches ready for sports. We have a health center that is functioning properly.
In terms of infrastructure, the Director for Development, Physical Plan and Infrastructure, Professor Fogwe Zifanyanji, talks of renovations and construction of new facilities to ease studies.
We repaired some of the leaking roofs at the student halls of residence. We refurbished the damaged equipment, both electricity, plumbing and carpentry. It's all set to begin.
The security of students on and off campus has also been put to check, with members of the university community advised to avoid nightly activities and be one another's keeper. Klenis Ayombom Abengo, CRTV News, Bamenda.
And from classrooms, we go over to corrupt spaces. Cameroon has lost over 114 billion CFA francs to corruption in 2023. This information was made known in the country's 2023 anti-corruption status report, rendered public by the chairperson of the National Anti-Corruption Commission, the Reverend Dr. Dieudonné Massigams. In Yaoundé Today, Ngu Henry reports.
The Cameroon's 2023 anti-corruption status report, which is the 13th in its kind, is a compilation of 84 contributions forwarded to the National Anti-Corruption Commission, CONAC, by institutions and organizations. 7 out of the existing 384 regional and local authorities in the country sent reports to the CONAC. 7,548 denunciations were made in 2023 against 7,061 in 2022, representing an increase of 487 denunciations in absolute terms and 6.54% in relative terms. Out of the number, 3,273 were received by administrative mail, 1,245 via the hotline 1517, 770 by email. A total of 9,925 public officials were sanctioned, ranging from warnings to dismissals. The state of Cameroon incurred financial losses of over 114 billion CFA francs to corruption-related offenses. The amount is a significant increase compared to 2022, when it was over 4 billion CFA francs.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
Eighteen minutes after 3 p.m., you're listening to CRTV's Afternoon Edition. Cameroonian-born and U.S.-based advocate Barrister Emmanuel Salai says his crusade to ensure that promoters of terrorism in the northwest and southwest regions are convicted for their crimes will intensify in the coming days. Reacting to the arrest of the separatist ringleader Lucas Ayabachu, he rejoices at the decision of the Norwegian police over what he says is justice for the families of the victims. His reaction was captured by Albert Jembonde.
Ayaba Lucas's arrest marks a significant victory in the fight against terrorism and separatist violence in the conflict regions of Cameroon. His apprehension sends a clear message. No one who sows terror and destruction in Cameroon will escape justice, no matter where they live. For the countless victims of kidnappings, assassination, and bombings, this is a step towards healing and justice. It shows that the international community is beginning to take action, and those who have financed or committed crimes against our people will be held accountable. This arrest is just the beginning. Our law firm remains committed to dismantling this network of violence and terror, ensuring that peace and stability are restored to the affected regions of Cameroon. The fight is not over, but with each step, we come closer to achieving our goals to dismantle and defeat the separatist terrorist organizations and return to the day when all our beloved fellow Cameroonians in the conflict regions can live in safety and unity.
And that was Cameroonian-born and US-based advocate Barrister Emmanuel Salai speaking to Albert Jembonde. The president of the National Commission on the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism has called for the mapping out of administrative units where inter-community conflicts are recurrent, as well as those susceptible to such conflicts. Peter Mafane Musonge was speaking today in Yaoundé at the start of a three-day forum on inter-community conflicts and the promotion of living together in Cameroon. Albert Jembonde attended that colloquium. His report.
It was a full hall of participants drawn from the civil society, ministries involved in the management of community conflicts, university dons and researchers. Participants who are enthusiastic to share their true life experiences and experts drafted to present keynotes. Of the over 20 keynotes to be presented are four plenaries with subjects carefully chosen to raise awareness on the role of major stakeholders in preventing, managing or solving community conflicts, but also to raise awareness on the dangers of such conflicts. To this, Sir Peter Mafani Musonge challenged the attendees to find urgent and creative solutions while painting a picture on the gravity of the situation.
Tell the people that when they see Cameroonians from elsewhere, they should love them and discourage hate speech and have love for country.
From the inaugural lesson of Professor Paul Abuna, head of the Department of Anthropology of the University of Yaoundé 1, it became clear that most inter-community conflicts are born from the quest for water and land resources. At the end of the three-day colloquium, the hope is that the Musonge Commission gets a compendium of the factors that provoke such conflicts, localities where the risks are high, research findings on the problem, and experiences of administrative, traditional, and religious authorities, as well as civil society leaders. The overall goal being to prevent such happenings for a more harmonious living together in Cameroon.
Albert Ndiembonde, and experts at the ongoing colloquium have identified the fight for resources and linguistic differences as some causes of inter-community conflict in Cameroon. The proposed social cohesion and transparency among traditional leaders and communities as the way forward. Hortensia Ngam spoke to some experts and put together this report.
Cameroon has long faced inter-community conflicts, with most recent examples being the Mbororo farmer conflict in the northwest region and the Logone, Berni and Musgum conflict in the far north. A human rights activist, Ngorkum Ngufo Polycarp, links most of these conflicts to resource competition.
Intercommunal conflicts come as a result of the fight for resources. There might be cultural factors. At times, politics come into it and worsen the situation.
Professor Sami Beban Chumbo, a facilitator at the colloquium, points hate speech as a major driver. He proposes the need for preventive mechanisms that promote social cohesion as a means to reduce such conflicts.
We need to put in place mechanisms to ensure that there is social cohesion based on recognition of the fact that we all are different, but we belong together, and that difference is a value that we should cultivate.
Another facilitator, Barrister Tumfo Nico Hale, calls for synergy among traditional rulers to promote transparency and peace within their communities, especially in rural areas where most conflicts occur.
The traditional rulers need to make sure that they should not discriminate against anybody. Traditional rulers should be the major player in order that inter-community conflicts can be resolved.
The experts are unanimous that these conflicts underscore the urgent need for measures promoting social cohesion across the country.
Thank you, Hortensia Ngam. And we'll now go over to the Logone and to the Logone Birni subdivision in the far north region, where inhabitants are enjoying peace 3 years after the inter-community conflict between the Arab Chaouchas and the Musgums. Those who fled to seek solace in Chad are coming back to their villages, with some 15,000 voluntary returnees being registered, as local authorities are working to preserve peaceful coexistence among members of the communities. Amos Enonyakedagbo completes that story from Maroua.
3 years gone down the lane when brothers of the same nation and subdivision stood up against each other in what was termed intertribal conflicts between the Arab Chouas and the Musgums, peace is set to reign between the two communities as they have accepted to bury the hatchet and forge ahead for the common good of the general community. Today, the Arab Chouas and the Musgum walk hand in hand, and efforts are being made to consolidate the hard end peace. According to Shumbai Ibrahim, the subdivisional officer for Logone Birni, those who fled the conflict to seek for refuge in neighboring Chad have been returning back home voluntarily, with about 15,000 persons registered. He adds that the pacific peaceful coexistence through mutual dialogue to consolidate peace in the subdivision is a reality in the Logone Birni, as the warring factions have decided to give peace a chance. Maroua, Amos Enonyaket Agbo, CLTV News.
We told you in the headlines, a project to combat torture in prisons, reduce overcrowding, facilitate equitable access to justice by inmates, and guarantee their socioeconomic integration has been launched in Yaoundé. Baptized the Prison Governance Support Program, the three-year initiative targets 40 communities in seven regions of the country suffering from acute prison challenges. It is an initiative of the European Union and the Paris Solidarity Bar and pulls expertise from rights groups, civil society organizations, and designated government institutions. Here now is the national coordinator of the human rights organization, Joseph Désiré Zébazé, on the merits of the project.
The project intends to support the government by advocacy so that alternative penalties that are previewed in the Penal Code of 2016 can be effective, because the provision is there, but we still need a decree that will show how to implement. We will also support in prisons the most vulnerable, like internally displaced persons, refugees, young ladies, people that are far from their families. So we will choose some criteria to select prisoners, detainees that will be supported through the provision of lawyers, the recruitment of local organizations that are already working. We present a draft, the cartography of those organizations working in prison in Cameroon, in the world country, from which we will select some that will be supported by the project.
Member states of the Central African Economic and Monetary Community, CEMAC, are pursuing moves to abolish visas for nationals in accordance with the 2013 agreement on free movement in the region in Cameroon, Chad, and the Central African Republic. The authorities are reaffirming their commitment to the policy through circulars, emphasizing that the free movement of people from CEMAC states is officially in their territory. Winston Nebga has a report.
The idea is to promote trade, create a genuine common market based on the free movement of goods, services, capital, and people. Cameroon's Delegate General for National Security, Martin Bargangele, issued a circular on September 16, 2024, specifying that citizens of CEMAC states do not need entry visas, but are simply required to have a valid biometric passport or national identity card to stay in the country. The embassy in Congo-Brazzaville, in a press statement, declared that Cameroonians living there can go back home with a laissez-passer if they do not have valid travel documents. Chad's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Central Africa Republic's Directorate General in charge of the National Police both issued circular letters saying CEMAC citizens do not need entry visas into their land, but valid passports or ID cards for a stay of not more than 90 days. This signals an improvement in the situation, given that over the years there have been massive swoops on especially Cameroonian citizens in some CEMAC countries, leading to tensions within the common borders.
Winston Lebga putting a cap on CRTV's afternoon edition. But before we go, a reminder of our top stories. Cameroon is multiplying efforts to guarantee peace and social cohesion in the wake of its socio-political and economic challenges. The arrest of separatist terrorist Lucas Ayabachu has been saluted by Cameroon-born and US-based peace crusader Barrister Emmanuel Shalai, who has promised retributive justice for all victims of the ongoing crisis in the northwest and southwest regions. CRTV's afternoon edition was a presentation of Drusilla Mokoso Joki. Up next is a summary of the news in the French language with Bernadette Messomo. Bon après-midi.
Bon après-midi, Drusilla. Bon après-midi, Madame, Monsieur. Rentrée scolaire et universitaire au Cameroun, au croisement du bilan et des perspectives. Le conseil de cabinet du mois de septembre s'est tenu cette matinée à l'immeuble Étoile, sous la présidence du Premier ministre, chef du gouvernement. Présence effective, couverture optimale des programmes, arrimage des enseignements dispensés aux exigences du marché de l'emploi sont quelques-unes des directives données par Joseph John Gouté à l'issue du conseil de cabinet qu'il a présidé ce jour à l'immeuble Étoile. Lutte contre le terrorisme au Cameroun, l'arrestation de Lucas Ayabachu par la justice norvégienne suscite de nombreuses réactions de satisfaction. Maître Emmanuel Salaï, à la tête du collège des avocats des victimes des exactions séparatistes dans les régions du nord-ouest et du sud-ouest, salue l'action de la justice norvégienne et affirme que la traque des terroristes basés à l'étranger va se poursuivre. Disposer d'une cartographie des circonscriptions administratives dans lesquelles les conflits intercommunautaires sont récurrents et là où ils risquent de survenir, c'est le vœu du président de la Commission nationale pour la promotion du bilinguisme et du multiculturalisme. Peter Mafani Moussangay procédait ce jour à l'ouverture du colloque de trois jours sur les conflits intercommunautaires et la promotion du vivre ensemble au Cameroun. Les travaux placés sous le très haut patronage du président de la République réunissent une panoplie d'experts de plusieurs secteurs. Le Cameroun fait face à des défis majeurs en matière de surpopulation carcérale, avec des taux d'occupation dépassant parfois la barre de 500% dans certaines prisons. Une réalité alarmante qui ne cesse d'aggraver les conditions de vie des détenus et de remettre en question le respect des droits humains, et cela en dépit de nombreux efforts des pouvoirs publics. Face à cette situation, le consortium Avocats sans frontières et le réseau camerounais des droits de l'homme a procédé ce jour au lancement du projet d'appui à la gouvernance carcérale en abrégé. Pagode. Madame, Monsieur, de votre attention, merci. Prochain rendez-vous avec l'actualité, 17h.